For this episode, I'm drinking a can of Old Chub Scotch Ale. It's just a standard thing I need to drink for every episode. God knows I can't put up a status I'm sober. Ah, shit. Forgot to refill my water bottle. You know, I really don't want to get up because I'm really fucking comfortable in this chair. Randy, go get me water. Okay. She's like, go get your own fucking water. God, that's why you're not my girlfriend. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for your safe zone. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass that Leo Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Here's a trigger warning for you. You are wrong, and I am right. Yes, that's the way it goes down. It's been that way for, oh, let's see, how long have I been podcasting now? Oh, yeah, 11 fucking years. I've been right, you've been wrong for 11 years. Because I am Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. This is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys, fucking annihilates, in a fucking nuclear mushroom cloud, motherfucking statist all around the world. If there are survivors, we wait until nighttime and we shoot them because they glow in the dark because they're all radioactive. Because we all know that radioactivity makes things glow in the dark. We know that because, gosh, you guys have to y'all know so much about science. I believe in science. My scientists say global warming is true. It must be true because scientists said so. They have white lab coats. And I believe in science. I do. I believe in science. Science. I don't deny science. I believe in science. Oh, the science. The motherfucking science. Mm-hmm. Let me get that cord. So let's talk about the science for a minute. By the way, you can send us email God. Dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com. And of course, it's CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. We're on the YouTube. We're on the Twitterverse. Yeah. Let's talk about science for a minute. I have here a issue of National Geographic. It's actually the December 2015. God, I have something that's current and up to date. It's the December 2015 edition of National Geographic. I just want to throw this out before I even get to the relevant part. And then we're going to come to the one person, one vote that I teased you with in the last episode. On the cover of National Geographic, as a picture of Mary, Mary being the woman who gave birth to Jesus, that Mary. And, of course, it's a picture of a painting of her because there aren't any pictures of Mary. And the cover says, Mary, the most powerful woman in the world. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is, according to National Geographic, the most powerful woman in the world. Now, what exactly did Mary do? Well, Mary spread her legs apart and pushed out a baby from her vagina. That's what she did. That was her accomplishment. That is what she achieved. And for that, she is the most powerful woman in the world. Don't tell me the standards aren't lower for women than they are for men. For a man to achieve greatness, you have to be Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr., you have to get shot, you have to piss people off, you have to climb Mount Everest, you have to get into a space capsule on top of a giant pile of fucking explosives, get shot up in the air, go to the moon, land on the moon even though you're almost running out of fuel, you miss your landing zone, and like you barely get it almost out of fuel when you fucking land, and you come back, you're Neil Armstrong, people know who you are. But for a woman to be the most powerful woman in the world, all you have to do is spat out a baby. So don't tell me the standards for women are not lower. Don't fucking tell me women are equal. I don't want to hear any of your feminist bullshit, drivel, mind-numbing horse poop. Okay? Shut up. speaking of dumb people, gay. Let me read from this article, The Science of Delicious, in National Geographic, December 2015, we're on page 67. Almost 25 years ago, my wife introduced our daughter's brownie troupe to the tongue map, which she'd learned about in a cookbook when she herself was a girl. Each of the basic tastes, she explained, is perceived by taste buds in a unique region of the tongue. Sweet at the tip, salty and sour at the sides, bitter at the back. She gave the girls Q-tips and bowls of salt water, sugar water, and other liquids, and invited them to prove it to themselves. "I can taste everything everywhere," one of the girls said. "No, you can't," my wife said. "Try again and really pay attention." "I can taste everything everywhere too," said another girl. As it happens, the brownies were right and their leader was wrong. It is true that in some people, the receptors for particular taste is what you use to paste paper together. That's the craft and art section. This is different. Particular taste may be more concentrated in certain areas on the tongue, but all of them are found all over, and a Q-tip dipped in lemon juice will seem sour no matter where you dab it. The notion that each taste has its own tightly circumscribed detection zone can be traced, to a 1942 misunderstanding by a Harvard professor of a paper published in Germany in 1901. The tongue map wasn't definitively debunked until the 1970s, and many people still believe in it, even though it only takes seconds for 7-year-olds to disprove it. I believe in science, just like global warming. People all over the planet believe in global warming, even though probably 17-year-old children could say, "But wait, hasn't the climate been changing ever since the Earth existed? Or are you saying that the climate of the planet Earth was completely static until Ronald Reagan was elected president?" And this is why I believe in science. When you hear somebody saying they believe in science, that's an indicator that this person has substituted science for religion. I do not believe in science. Science is a process by which you discover things. Things are what they are. I don't believe in gravity, because gravity happens whether or not I believe in it. Gravity doesn't give a fuck whether or not I believe in it. I don't believe in the tongue map, because first of all, there's no such thing as a tongue map. The receptors all the time. But I believe in science. The tongue map existed for all these years, and all these stupid people believed it, because one person made a mistake. But global warming must be real. People in lab coats said so. They don't make mistakes. I believe in science. You can believe in science all you want. I know for a fact that people make mistakes. And I know for a fact that putting on a white lab coat, because I've worn a white lab coat, for those of you new to the podcast, I worked in biomedical research for 8 fucking years. I know more about science than you will ever fucking know in your pathetic little life. Putting on a white lab coat does not make you omnipotent. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out because I had started reading this article and just ran across that. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is. Science, man. Speaking of science. Okay, I'm waiting for possibly an important email. All right. Let's get to the thing I teased you with. Let me read this. This is from the May 27th, 2015 edition of the Houston Chronicle. I don't really understand this. That's why I'm going to read this, and we're going to fucking puzzle this out together. And why is this important? Good question. Because again, this is the state, and the concept that there are laws that exist that are so complicated no one can understand them sort of defeats the purpose of the law. Like, the purpose of having the law is that the law should be accessible to everyone. Okay, I shouldn't say the purpose. The purpose of the law is to oppress people and keep them stupid, depending on, you know, if you're a statist. So let me rephrase this. If you're in a society and within that society, you're going to have a law, a established code of conduct, code of behavior, a set of guidelines for that which should not be done or should be done. And I really don't think laws should, and this is part of the problem, is they have these laws that say what people should do. You really only need a very small set of laws in the reality for non-stupid people, right? And you don't really need laws because, again, most people already know what's right and what's wrong. It's not that complicated. You don't need a law against killing people because people who aren't stupid know that killing people is wrong. And anyone who doesn't know killing people is wrong isn't going to give a fuck that there's a law against it. If you're going to have a law, this set of rules, this set of things that thou shalt not do or shall do, whatever, it needs to be accessible to everybody, and accessible means not just available right there, it's on the internet. Not just that it's accessible physically as you can get to it, but that anyone should be able to understand it, right? This is why things like Obamacare, you know, what, 2,000 pages or whatever? Nobody, really, it takes 2,000 fucking pages to say that you have to buy health insurance. I mean, ultimately, that's what Obamacare is. It's you have to buy health insurance or else. Okay, what are the other 1,999 pages about? Well, nobody really fucking knows. It's been how many years since Obamacare was passed? I guarantee you nobody really knows what the fuck is in there yet. And that's a huge, huge aspect of the problem with the state. So anyhow, why this is important is because it was me drinking some Old Chub Scotch Ale. This is important to talk about and understand because this illustrates how statism is so mind-blowingly complex that it can't possibly make any sense. And yet people think that this is essential, that this is important. And it's not. It's just bullshit. It's pure, pure bullshit. One person, one vote to be defined. Washington, the Supreme Court on Tuesday agreed to hear a case that will answer a long contested question about a bedrock principle of the U.S. political system. The meaning of, quote, one person, one vote, unquote. Now, I've talked about nebulous language, right? When we say things like mass shootings, mass doesn't really mean anything. When people use words like awesome, doesn't mean anything. When people use, well, that's super, like I super like red wine or whatever. It's like that doesn't mean anything. That's not quantifiable. When Obama said hope and change, wait, it's nebulous. It doesn't mean anything. One person, one vote. there's not really anything nebulous here. One is a number. One, it's the thing that happens between 0 and 2. Now, there's other things between 0 and 2, like 0.5, 0.6, 0.7, 0.9784, 1.0001, 1.5, 1.76. Yes, there's other things between 0 and 2. But 1 is like the whole unit that happens between 0 and 2. Okay, 1, not complicated. Person. Okay, we can have a little bit of a debate about person. You know, there's the whole abortion thing. Is a fetus a person or not? What about a individual who is in a coma? What about somebody whose brain activity has ceased, but their body, their heart, their lungs is still functioning? You know, so okay, yeah, there's a little bit of wiggle room here on defining people. I can acknowledge this. But for the most part, person, one, person, okay, so far. And then we have one, again, so it's the same. And then vote. Well, vote. Vote is when you go in there and you petition the government for permission. It's when you give your authority to other people, right? So you go in here and you say you vote for Obama. And you say, I want Obama to represent me, and what Obama tells me to do, I will do. A vote is a transfer of power. In many cases, it's a transfer of power that you don't have. For example, when Obama kills people in other countries, and you say, well, he was elected. Well, yes, but voting is giving up your power to other people, giving your power to other people. But since you don't have the power, and when I say the power, of course, I mean you do not have the justification under the non-aggression principle. You do not have the authority under the non-aggression principle to kill other people. You can't say, well, I've transferred my power to kill other people to Obama, because you don't have the power to kill other people. Unless, of course, I mean, you can, but the problem is they can kill you back, which, again, is why I have explained that the attacks on the World Trade Center were not terrorism. It's like, no, the people in that building, most of them, I'm sure there were some in there who didn't vote, but those people voted for the federal government of the United States. They supported the government. They gave their power to the government. The federal government of the United States killed people in other countries, and then other people, because of those killings, came to America and killed people. I mean, that's not terrorism. That's called what you get for killing other people. Anytime the citizens of the United States want other countries, and it's not even really countries, it's just Islamic freaks. Yeah, I call them freaks. To stop trying to kill us, the first thing we need to do is stop trying to kill them. Because, yes, Muslims, Islamists, whatever the fuck they're called, I don't give a shit, camel jockeys, they are animals, they are freaks, they are people who want to kill anyone who isn't like them. But for the most part, if we weren't bothering them, they wouldn't bother us. And again, the other side of this is that when we go kill them and then they fly airplanes into the World Trade Center, I don't have any sympathy for people who died in the World Trade Center, because they did deserve it. However, if we weren't killing the Muslims, and the Muslims came over here and killed us, well, then we would be the ones defending ourselves, as opposed to now, where they're the ones defending themselves, and we could defend ourselves with impunity and just kill the little fuckers and be done with it. But none of that has anything to do with what I'm talking about. Or supposed to be talking about. One person, one vote. Okay. The court has never resolved whether that means that voting districts should have the same number of people or the same number of eligible voters. One person, one vote. Does that mean voting districts should have the same number of people or same number of eligible voters? What? Why does it matter? Well, I guess we'll get to this, but okay, look. If every person gets a vote, but some people are not eligible voters, does that mean they're not people? the same number of people or the same number of eligible voters. Okay, the difference matters in places with large numbers of people who cannot vote legally. Which, to say that they can't vote legally sort of implies that they can vote illegally. Is there a way to vote that isn't legal? I thought all voting was legal, so there's such a thing as illegal voting? Including immigrants who are here legally but not citizens, unauthorized immigrants, children, and prisoners. So what I'm getting so far, hang on, you can see how this is important. I know, I'm supposed to be paying attention, just deal with it. So what I'm getting so far is they can't figure out, does one person, one vote mean that in a district, in voting districts, you should have the same number of people who can vote or the same number of people? Again, see, I'm not really sure. Now, again, we're setting aside the fact that voting is violence, there shouldn't be a state, nobody should be voting, democracy is a failure. I mean, yeah, I get all of that. Okay, but we're trying to look at this from within the context of statism. Okay, a new case, Evenwell versus Abbott, number 14-940, is a challenge to voting districts for the Texas Senate brought by two voters, Sue Evenwell and Edward Fingiger, something. They are represented by the Project on Fair Representation, the small conservative advocacy group that has mounted earlier challenges to affirmative action and to a central part of the Voting Rights Act. Quote, there are voters or potential voters in Texas whose Senate votes are worth approximately 1.5 times that of appellates, the challenger's brief said. Okay, how can one person's vote be worth, first of all votes are worthless. Okay, so just, yes, I get it, all votes are worthless. Again, we're playing within the boundaries of the fucked up system. How can one vote be worth less than another? Again, it's one vote. One is equal to one. Is equal to one. In a statement issued after the Supreme Court accepted their case, Evenwell and Feinger said they, quote, hoped that the outcome of our lawsuit will compel Texas to equalize the number of eligible voters in each district, unquote. How are they going to equalize the number of eligible voters in a district? Are they going to forcibly relocate people to different districts? I mean, I think I get it, what they're trying to say, but they don't have the literary skills to articulate themselves, is what they were trying to say is, we hope the Supreme Court will force the government of Texas to redraw the voting districts so that each district contains the same number of eligible voters. A 1964 Supreme Court decision, Reynolds versus Sims, ruled that voting districts must contain very close to the same number of people, but the court did not say which people count. Whew. Almost all state and local governments draw districts based on total population. If people who were ineligible to vote were evenly distributed, the difference between counting all people or counting only eligible voters would not matter. So apparently there are two kinds of people. There are people who can vote, and there are people who are not allowed to vote. Okay, but demographic patterns vary widely. If the challengers succeed, the practical consequences would be enormous. Joseph Fishkin, a law professor at the University of Texas at Austin, wrote in 2012 in the Yale Law Journal. He said, quote, shift power markedly at every level away from cities and neighborhoods with many immigrants and many children and towards the older, whiter, more exclusively native-born areas in which a higher proportion of the total population consists of eligible voters, unquote. So I'm still not sure I understand why voting districts matter. So maybe, because again, you can see how much I give a shit about statism and how much I know. Maybe the voting districts are how representatives are elected, so each district has its own representative. God, democracy is just such a fucking failure. Well, I was sitting here because I'm thinking about this. I'm mulling this in my head. So again, let's say that you want to create a system that's going to fail. You want democracy because you're just really stupid. And so you want to set up these districts where each district elects a representative. And that representative, you know, and all the people in the district who didn't vote for that representative are screwed and fucked, because that's called equality and democracy, and this is, of course, a good thing. And it's like, God, you know, it's like thinking about democracy is just like there's no way to justify how stupid this is. And even trying to create in my brain this theoretical example is just like, it makes no, you know, it's like saying, what if I took this computer monitor right here and shoved it up my ass. Like, I can conceive of no reason why I would want to shove the computer monitor up my ass. It makes no sense. I can't even create a fictitious example of why I would want to do that. That's how I feel about democracy. What if we had a system where, as I've talked about before, you do realize, if you don't realize this, I'm about to tell you right now, it's called math, you can do the numbers on this, you do realize that the President of the United States, Hussein Obama, for half white, first affirmative action president, second coming of Jesus, Hussein Obama was elected by slightly less than 20% of the total population of the United States of America. That's democracy. 20% of the people want Obama to tell them how to run their lives. The other 80% don't give a flying fuck whether they didn't vote for Obama, whether they didn't vote at all, or whether they're not allowed to vote but still have to obey. Right? You're not allowed to vote, but you still have to obey the politicians. Well, that's a fucking hell of a deal. Wow, this democracy thing, this fucking sounds great. I want some of that. So let's say that I'm mentally retarded, and then I've additionally had my brain removed, and I really enjoy punishment and pain, and so I want to set up a democracy. If I were going to draw districts up, I was going to create these legal fictions called districts that would elect representatives to represent some of the people in the district and tell the other district people in the district to go fuck themselves. Instead of basing it on population, in so much as anything in democracy can make sense, it seems to me it would make sense that the districts should be drawn up based on cultural similarities. And thus, the city slickers could have one representative because people who live in the city are demographically similar, and then you could have a representative for the people who live in the country, who are the farmers, and you got suburbia, so maybe they get a representative. And then within the city, perhaps you could have, depending on how far you want to break it down, right? You could have the inner city. I guess inner city is different from suburbs. You could have the north side of Houston. You could have the south side of Houston, right? If you're out there in the country, you could perhaps have the area that's west of Houston and north of Houston and southwest. You could, I'm saying it would make more sense to break this down based on geographic location, because people within a geographic location are going to, and I know this is intolerant, diverse, and multicultural, because how dare you fucking say this? Sorry, that's a fact. I mean, people within a geographical location, unless, of course, you're doing forced relocation or you have mass amounts of immigration, tend to be similar to each other. So this idea that the voting districts should be based on simply counting the number of people in a district, it's bizarre to me. I can't even wrap my brain around this. I'm so far beyond democracy that none of this can make any sense to me anymore. There was a time when I probably would have understood what this means. Federal appeals courts have uniformly ruled that counting everyone is permissible, and one court has indicated that is required. In the process, though, several judges have acknowledged that the Supreme Court's decisions provide support for both approaches. No, it hasn't. If one court has, well, what does this mean? One court has indicated that it is required to count all people. What does that mean? What do you mean indicated? The court is supposed to make a decision. Did the court decide that it is required to count all people or not? When you say the court indicated something, what does that mean? Does that mean it's optional? Well, if it's optional, that's not a decision. If you come to me and you say, great one, do you want another beer? And I say to you, well, I'm indicating that I would like another beer. What does that mean, I want a beer or not? It's a fucking yes or no question. One court has indicated that it is required. However, the Supreme Court's decisions provide support for both approaches. The Federal Appeals Court in New Orleans said the issue, quote, presents a close question, unquote, partly because the Supreme Court has been, quote, somewhat evasive in regard to which population must be equalized, unquote. There's a fucking Orwellian Stalinistic phrase. Which population must be equalized? Furthermore, why can't the Supreme Court just fucking tell anybody? How did they make this ruling without explaining what the fuck the ruling means? Judge Alex Kaczynski, in a partial dissertation from a decision of the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco, said there were respectable arguments on both sides. On one theory, he said, counting everyone ensures, quote, representational equality, unquote, with elected officials tending to the interest of the same number of people, whether they are voters or not. Yes, as if elected officials are up there and they're going, well, there's 2,000 voters in your district, but there's 3,000 voters in mine, so I'm working way harder than you are, or something. What? On the other hand, he said, counting only eligible voters vindicates the principle that voters, quote, hold the ultimate political power in our democracy, unquote. God, voters are sheep. No, the voters are sheep. The voters do not hold the power. The voters are sheep. You're the sheep, you fucking morons. You're the fucking sheep. He concluded that the Supreme Court's decisions generally support the second view. Even if counting only adult citizens is the correct approach, there are practical obstacles. Quote, a constitutional rule requiring equal numbers of citizens would necessitate a different kind of census than the one currently constructed. Unquote. For now, Persley wrote, quote, the only relevant data available from the census gives ballpark figures at best and misleading and confusing estimates at worst, unquote. Wait a minute. How can the census only give ballpark figures and be misleading and have confusing estimates? The census is run by the federal government and ask a whole series of intrusive questions, and they do it every 10 years. How can this be? I mean, really? The government can fuck up counting people? Maybe we should give the government control of nuclear weapons and the money supply. I mean, they can't even count people without fucking it up. Let's give them unlimited power. In 2001, the court turned down an opportunity to decide the question in another case from Texas after Judge Clarence Thomas objected. Okay, that was the end of that article. One person, one vote. It's so complicated. Fucking Christ. All right, let's move on. What do I got here? This is collegian. Those have to go together. Let me finish off all the non-CSU collegian shit first, and then we'll get back to making fun of college students. Federal appeals court strikes down Texas voter ID law. For those of you new to the show wondering why I'm reading shit from Texas newspapers, that's because I'm from Texas. I'm just throwing that out. Even if the Texas legislature did not intentionally pass a voter identification law that illegally discriminates against voters who are black, Hispanic, or poor, the practical effect of the law is discriminatory and in violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act. A 49-page opinion of a three-judge panel in the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals was released on August 5th. Right, because, of course, requiring people who don't have white skin to have identification is discriminatory because, apparently, if you're not white, getting an identification card is just too fucking difficult for you. There's a reason why people such as myself regard minorities as being inferior. And it's because, number one, natural selection, and number two, because when I'm told that because you're black, it's too difficult for you to get an ID card, and when you consider that getting an identification from the government ain't that fucking difficult, even I have one and I don't give a fuck, I have a goddamn driver's license, it's not that fucking hard to get a driver's license. When you tell me, well, it's harder for me to get a driver's license than it is for you because I have black skin, brown skin, yellow skin, red skin, whatever, what I hear is, great one, I am inferior to you. The government, which gives me all sorts of privileges and statuses that you don't have because you're white and I'm not white, can't give me an ID card. It's so complicated for me to get an ID card from the government that gives me affirmative action, welfare, food stamps, all this shit, and I just can't do it. And all I hear is, wah, 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 I am inferior. Wah, 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 I am inferior. Wah, 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 I am inferior. And my response to you is shut the fuck up. When you want me to treat you, Mr. Minority, Mrs. Minority, as my equal, then you're going to fucking act like my equal. I despise the government, and yet I can manage to get a fucking driver's license. It's not that fucking difficult to do. And if you're not smart enough to get a driver's license, not only are you not my equal, but you shouldn't be voting, because you're the problem, not the fucking solution. The panel ordered that much of the case be remanded to a federal district court in Texas for further consideration. When the legislature passed Senate Bill 14 in May 2011, plaintiffs led by then State Representative Mark Veasley of Fort Worth filed suit naming Governor Rick Perry, Secretary of State, blah, 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 blah. Plaintiffs argued that the intent of the law was to suppress the minority vote and the law's requirement that a voter to cast a ballot in person must first present one of several forms of photo identification in addition to their voter registration certificate amounts to an illegal poll tax. So it is a tax. Now, oddly, oh wait, I was about to say Obamacare is not a tax, but the government ruled Obamacare is a tax. Showing somebody a photo identification and a voter registration certificate is a tax and is discrimination. Now, hold on. In order to vote, because remember, as we learned, there's two kinds of voting. There's voting legally, and then apparently, because you have the phrase voting legally, there must be such a thing as voting illegally. Otherwise, you would not need to have the phrase voting legally, right? If all voting was legal, you don't need to say voting legally. In order to vote, don't people have to be registered to vote? So you're going to vote if you have to present an ID and your voting registration. Okay, well, you should have a voting registration because you have to be registered to vote in order to vote. That's how they know if you're eligible or ineligible to vote. Everybody registered to vote should have a voter registration certificate. How this can be discriminatory, I don't understand. Well, I do understand because black people, because minorities, because victim status. But I'm talking about from a logical, intelligent perspective. And yes, I know, again, we're talking about voting, which is not logical or intelligent. I get it. Just roll with me. So presenting the voter registration certificate cannot possibly be discriminatory. No matter how much you fucking stretch it, no matter how much a victim you are, no matter how fucking black you are, no matter how brown you are, no matter what color you speak, your language you speak, what color you speak, no matter what fucking victim card you can play, there's not a fucking victim card on the planet you can play that tells me that showing a voter registration certificate is discrimination. Because you have to register to vote to be an eligible voter. In addition to that, they have to show a form of photo identification. Now, considering that the police can demand identification from people, and if you don't show it to them, they can beat the shit out of you with their little sticks or taser you or even shoot you, shouldn't everybody have identification? I mean, remember, the government issues every person in the United States a Social Security number, a fucking number. And if you try to get a job, and you don't have that number, you can't get a job. So the idea that having government-issued identification is somehow discriminatory when it is the government, through both actual fact, and that fact, that's the word I'm looking for, through empirically provable examples such as try to get a job without a Social Security number, and through slightly more subjective but still substantial examples, such as when the cop says, show me some ID, and you tell him you don't have any ID, and they ask you why not and beat the shit out of you. Okay? Getting government identification, and isn't that fucking hard? How can this possibly be discrimination? Again, what they're saying is that black people and whatever fucking minorities, who do we claim this is fucking discriminating against? Voters who are black, Hispanic, or poor. Yes, because black, brown, and poor people just can't get a fucking driver's license. It's so far beyond them. And for those of you who are black, brown, and poor, how does it feel to be condescended to like this? To be told that you're, I mean, poor people I kind of understand, because poor people are poor because they're stupid and because natural selection has been circumvented. But if you're black or brown, how do you feel to be told that you're so fucking stupid you can't go get a driver's license? Like a white person can. White people can go to the DMV and stand in line for 7 hours and take the stupid driving test and have their photo taken. But you, because you have black skin or brown skin, well, you're just not capable of doing that. The U.S. District Court, Southern District of Texas, agreed, and top state officials acting on behalf of the state appealed. In its multi-part ruling, the Fifth Circuit panel did the following. Vacated plaintiff's claim that the law is Vacated plaintiff's claim that the law is discriminatory in the purpose and remanded that issue to the district court for further consideration. Affirmed the district court's finding that the law does have a discriminatory effect and thus is in violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, but also remanded the issue to the district court for consideration of the proper remedy. Vacated the district court's holding that SB 14 is a poll tax and rendered judgment in the state's favor. Dismissed plaintiff's claims that SB 14 violates the First Amendment and 14th Amendment. Governor Greg Abbott on August 5th said, quote, in light of ongoing voter fraud, it is imperative that Texas has a voter ID law that prevents cheating at the ballot box. Texas will continue to fight for its voter ID requirements to ensure the integrity of elections. Integrity of elections. Okay, look, integrity and elections are words that don't go in a sentence together. Ooh. Integrity of elections in the Lone Star State. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said, quote, today's ruling was a victory on the fundamental question of Texas' right to protect the integrity of our elections and the state. Common said, I can't even read any more of this. This is so fucking stupid. Sorry that you black people are so goddamn dumb you can't get a driver's license, you know? Gosh. What, you know, and these fucking white people are just telling you you're dumb right to your face and you're celebrating it. Woo! The massa told us we's a dumb, too dumb to get us a driver's license, so we's a don't have to show one when we vote. Oh my god, that was so racist what I just did. I don't really give a shit. Okay, what is this? Do I care about this anymore? Yeah, I do, kind of. All right, here we go. Last thing from Texas, then we get back to making fun of college students. Governor signs new Texas medical billing law. AARP, Texas Director, can old people. We are at your age. We had to walk uphill. Shut up, old person. AARP.
When I was your...
My favorite one is,
when I was your age, we respected our elders.
No, you didn't. Shut the fuck... You did not motherfucking respect your elders. You go tell that to somebody who's stupid and might believe you. I'm not falling for that. All right, anyway. This is not talking about the new Texas medical billing law. This is me having a good time. AARP Texas Director Bob Jackson today applauded. He applauded. Now let's applaud. He applauded Governor Greg Abbott, his slave master, for making decisions for him because Bob Jackson is too fucking stupid to run his own life and he needs a politician to make his decisions and tell him the difference between right and wrong, because natural selection failed to remove Bob Jackson from the DNA pool the way it should have. Anyway, he applauded Governor Greg Abbott and members of the legislature for making meaningful progress. Boy, there's a nebulous phrase. They made some meaningful progress. holy shit, meaningful progress. Somebody comes home, well, honey, hi, honey, how was work today? Oh, it was great. So, did you get the bathroom painted? Well, I made some meaningful progress. Come home and you go, hey, sweetheart, how's it going? Is dinner ready? And your woman says, well, I made some meaningful progress towards getting dinner ready. You're at work and your boss comes up to you and says, so, how's everything going with the Johnson & Johnson account? Do we have that contract signed? You say, well, you know, yeah, I made some meaningful progress. What the fuck is meaningful progress? You did or you didn't? They made some meaningful progress towards protecting consumers with the signing of Senate Bill 481. We put some words on a piece of paper. Oh, look how cool we are. We're governing. This is democracy. All right, I'm just starting to have too much fun now. A measure that could significantly reduce surprise medical billing in Texas. Senate Bill 481, sponsored by Senator Kelly Hancock, Republican, North Richland Hills, and signed Monday by Governor Abbott, gives mediation rights to nearly all Texans who go into an in-network hospital but leave with out-of-network bills. Now think about this for a minute. This law, these words on a piece of paper, give people the right. Whoa, what's going on? That was 52 fucking minutes? Jesus Christ. I'm always right, but I wasn't paying attention to the clock. I had no idea the podcast was about to end. Randy, should we go long or should I stop? All right, fine. We'll come back. We'll pick this up in the next episode. How the fuck was that 52 minutes? I was just getting warmed up. Christ. That wasn't long enough. Oh, that's what she said. Oh! Oh, God, it's great to be me. I am a motherfucker. Oh. Hey, you know what? We're gonna go long. That's just not. I just want to knock this out. I don't want to come back to it. Wah. Don't go away. I'm gonna finish this article up after the closing music plays. Okay, let's think about this. They wrote some words on a piece of paper that give people permission to get mediation in a situation for somebody who's trying to bill them and they feel like they have been billed unfairly. The idea that you need permission from the government to have a third party come in and mediate a dispute rather affirms that you're a slave. You see, free people don't need permission from the government to have a third party come in and mediate a dispute. That would be a distinction between free people and slaves. The changes are effective September the 1st. Today, mediation to address surprise medical bills is only available to people who get a bill that exceeds $1,000. SB 481 makes mediation available to those who get a bill over $500. Whoa! But if it's $499, nobody gives a fuck. Tell me you're not a slave. Go ahead and try. Quote, the legislature listened to Texans who are fed up with surprise medical bills after emergency room visits or when they go to the hospitals in their insurance network. It's great news that the legislature and Governor Abbott acted this session to protect more consumers from being balance billed, unquote, said Jackson. Ooh, Jackson said that. Wow, he cares so much. Thank God for democracy. Without democracy, who the fuck would eat all that apple pie and kiss their moms? Balance billing can occur even when a patient admitted to a hospital for surgery may have checked in advance to ensure the hospital was in network. Often the patient is shocked. I am shocked. Shocked to discover that one of their treatment providers, such as the anesthesiologist, was out of network. Now, why is it the hospitals can get away with doing all of this bullshit? Well, it's simple. It's because, of course, the medical industrial complex is protected by a giant series of regulations put in place by the government. Again, if it was a market environment where you went in and you fucking asked questions and you paid for shit and hospitals did shit like this and they didn't tell you up front they're going to bill, people would complain, right? I mean, if you go to a restaurant and you order some food and the menu says it's $12 and then you get the bill and it's $30, you can say, where did the extra money come from? Like, oh, well, we had to charge you money for putting on a plate. You would argue. You would say, what the fuck? Why isn't that on the menu? Why doesn't it say that? But with the hospitals, with the healthcare industry, where the healthcare industrial complex, where you don't know the price of anything up front because they're not allowed to tell you, and because of insurance bullshit and Medicare, Medicaid bullshit, and Obamacare bullshit, and everything else, yeah, of course this shit happens. You get all the fucking regulations out of here, and you leave everything between the person who's paying for it and the people providing it. All of this kind of bullshit would vanish instantly. In such cases, the patient's insurance plan may cover a portion of out-of-network charges, but the remainder, which could reach thousands of dollars, falls to the patient. Well, wait, what about Obamacare? I thought we all had free health care now. I'm baffled why anybody's paying for health care. I thought Obamacare solved everything. Blah, blah, blah. Hold on, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. All right, done. That was easy. A lot like me. Oh, that's what she said.